All right. Hi, Bernard. To start out, can you please describe your role at Microsoft, the projects you've been working on, maybe give a little bit of background about your involvement, long-time involvement in Web3C standards, ORTC, and also your new W3C responsibilities?
Right. So I'm a principal architect at Skype within Microsoft, and I work on the Edge ORTC project primarily. But also help out other groups within the company interested in WebRTC. And have been involved in ORTC since the very beginning as one of the co-authors of ORTC, and very recently signed up as an editor of WebRTC 1.0.
Okay. So, and that just started relatively recently.
Right.
And that's, I guess, concurrent with some of the agreement around including more of the ORTC into WebRTC NV future? Is that
right?
Accurate?
So yeah. One of the reasons I signed up was that I found that I was having to file WebRTC 1.0 issues and follow them because many of the remaining bugs in ORTC related to WebRTC 1.0. And of course, we wanted the object models to be synced between WebRTC 1.0 and ORTC. So I basically had to review all the pull requests for WebRTC 1.0 anyway and reflect them back and edit them into ORTC 1.0. So I was basically editing the same text that was in WebRTC 1.0 anyway, so I might as well be an editor of WebRTC 1.0, because when I would find typos or stuff, I would fix them in one place, and I might as well just be able to submit them into the other spec.
So yeah.
It made sense.
Okay. And then I guess let's move on to Edge. So you know, Edge and Edge Preview are out there with varying forms of WebRTC. Can you walk through a little bit of
sure.
that?
Sure. So just also to clarify for people, Edge ORTC is in what's called Windows Insider Preview. What that means is that's something you sign up for when you get Windows 10, and you get new builds of Windows 10, which includes preview features as they become available. And so if you basically, as of build 10547, when you download that preview, you would have access to the Edge ORTC API. So that's how you get access to it. In terms of what is in it, the audio is relatively complete. So we have G711, G722, Opus, Comfort Noise, DTMF, as well as the Silk codec. So a fairly complete suite of audio on the... are you leaving?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Very nice to meet you.
Nice meeting you, Max.
And then on the video side, we have an implementation of H.264 SVC, which does both simulcast and scalable video coding, and as well as forward error correction. I should also mention we support RED and forward error correction on the audio side as well. So that's what's in Edge Insider Preview, as well as all the usual things, ICE, DTLS 1.0, et cetera.
Okay. I'll include this slide from your presentation
for
reference. There's a lot of stuff to go through. I did have a couple of questions on
yes.
a few things for follow-up. One was support on the video side of things for, I think you mentioned, FEC or external FEC, non-internal
right.
for OPIT. For there is one aspect, and also NAC.
So currently in Edge Insider Preview, we do not support generic NAC and retransmission. We support, instead of that, forward error correction is basically, like you said, external forward error correction for both audio and for video.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Yeah, so within within Opus and within Silk, we do not have support for the internal FEC, and also we do not support what's called discontinuous operation, DTX. We use the Comfort Noise codec for that instead, and then the external FEC for the forward error correction.
Okay. And then could you explain H.264 UC for
sure.
probably the majority of people out there that aren't familiar with the old link or Skype for Business?
So basically H.264 UC supports spatial simulcast along with temporal scalability in H.264. So these are basically the same technologies that are in Hangouts with VP8, and we do these under the covers. So the ORTC API has control for things like simulcast and SVC, but In many cases, the developer just basically wants the stack to do the right thing, send the right, figure out how many layers it can send to do it, and that's basically what H.264UC does. So it adapts to the network conditions, and it can drop simulcast streams or add them or change the number of tempo layers it sends based on the bandwidth that it feels is available. So currently, this codec is only interoperable between versions of Edge.
Okay. But it uses so the base layer doesn't even operate.
Well,
no,
the base layer is H.264.
Yeah.
So if you were prepared to process the base layer and for example, in an SFU or in a relay or something, it would communicate. But we're going to work on an interoperable version of H.264, which will be a separate codec name.
Okay.
So that's basically, if you want to interoperate, that's it'll be another codec.
Okay.
Yeah, and actually, if you look in the MIME types, even H.264SVC is a different codec than H.264.
Okay. All right.
So that's basically how you would
do that. Yeah, and I mean, Skype, at least in their architecture that was published, they show a gateway type thing, but that's not something.
Yeah.
I guess, do you expect other people to do similar gateways, or they probably won't need to, I guess,
Once H.264 is in there, you know, it depends on exactly what you're trying to do, but if you're talking to another peer, you should be able to, and you determine you both support H.264. Rather than doing H.264UC and running it through a relay, it probably would make the most sense to just do the H.264 and send it between the peers.
I mean,
there might be some exceptions for things like conferencing architectures and stuff like that where you might want the UC, because some participants might have it, so you might forward UC to some people and then rip it off to the other ones. But I'd say in a peer-to-peer architecture, you just would select the UC and just send that. That would make the most sense.
Okay. It may be related to that, too, was what degree of specificity can you say about the future roadmap? Is it basically what's on IE page and you kind of...
people should look at the dev.modern.ie page for status because that has the most up-to-date status. In fact, I often learn about things from the page. So as I mentioned, Screen Recorder is now under consideration. And then it basically breaks it down to a very high level in that you'll know whether it's in development, whether it's come out in the preview yet. So if it's in the preview and you can actually look at that feature in the insider preview. In terms of things we promised, basically, we're still on a roadmap that we put out in October 2014, which is we did promise H.264 at that time, have not delivered it yet. So that's kind of one of the main things we're working on. And it is more than just... an encoder decoder, because obviously we have that because we shipped that in H.264UC.
Yeah.
So it's certainly there are a number of things that are required in the video spec from RTC Web, but beyond that, there are things that weren't specified there that are required for interoperation. And so, there probably is also underlying work in video. For example, I mentioned robustness is an important thing, and some of that is still developing. And as a result, it's kind of hard to promise when we might or might not be able to do something because the flexible FEC standard is still under development. But it seems like a very worthwhile thing to do because it can handle distances greater than one, so burst loss conditions, which we do see. And that's one of the things that our proprietary FEC does do for both audio and video that we found to be very valuable is to be able to handle burst loss.
And you see Edge pushing the boundaries and helping defining some of the spec through implementation here more wait until
basically one of the features of Edge that you'll see that's interesting, particularly if you look at the statistics in MSGetStats, is there's an enormous amount of statistics that were relating to burst loss. So what we found, particularly on wireless networks, is burst loss is a fact of life. And so we spent a lot of time developing the statistics for it, developing the forward error correction that would correct for it. So that's kind of, I think, one of the more outstanding features of Edge is it is much more robust than existing WebRTC implementations with respect to burst loss. And also, statistically, we can actually measure it, which no other implementation could do.
Okay.
So that would be something we're certainly very interested in getting standardized versions of that. And we've actually been talking about potentially the stats and what... you know, what we have and what we found to be valuable versus what's in some of the XR block work.
Okay.
But I would say that that's the whole robustness field is one that's very much developing in WebRTC right now and is important, particularly on wireless networks.
Yeah. Okay. So, now that you have the implementation out there, I mean, you've been a longtime advocate of ORTC for, I think, a lot of reasons, but maybe you could summarize a little bit for Right, yeah. You know, why was ORTC a good fit for Edge? Why start with that spec versus something else? What does it enable you to do now as a result?
So some of the advantages of ORTC we thought would be advantages and turned out to be advantages, but we found there were also other advantages we didn't think of at the time. So obviously ORTC, because it doesn't have SDP, the irony is it allows us to be get to WebRTC 1.0 compatibility and interoperability faster than we would have. And if you look at the adaptive.js, it's actually interesting to read that code because the actual code for Edge is actually smaller than for some of the other browsers. I mean, wow, that's weird. Why would it take less adaptation for Edge than for anything else? Are we really more 1.0 compatible than 1.0? And the answer is, to some respects, we are, because we don't generate any STP that anybody has to parse and reformat. So all that is done. So it certainly saves a lot of development time to not have to write that code and have it done in JavaScript and also be modified in case people find bugs in it. But the other thing we found about ORTC that we weren't quite didn't quite understand early on was that it gives you detailed status of each of the transports. So each of your DTLS transports, each of your ICE transports. And particularly when you're dealing with situations like you might have if you've got multiple interfaces, you actually get information about failure conditions that you don't get out of WebRTC 1.0. And so it was interesting to look at 1.0. One of the reasons that I think people will find the objects interesting in 1.0 is because you actually need that kind of diagnostic information. And the current connection state is it's not really enough. And it's not even clear what it means. It says in the spec that it's about ICE, but it really kind of combines ICE and DTLS.
Yeah.
But with the object model you get, you know exactly what ICE transport went down or DTLS is in some weird state. So actually for diagnostics, it's actually pretty important. It's one of the most frequently requested kind of statistical things. So that was a benefit we didn't anticipate that actually we found is pretty valuable, and it will be coming into 1.0. And then there were the simple scenarios. You know, everyone said, I don't need ORTC because I don't do scalable video coding with Simulcast. Well, do you ever do hold? Do you ever do codec, you know, changing orders of codecs? All the illustrations that Peter said showed in 1.0. And the answer is a lot of those things are, in fact, common and were not possible in WebRTC 1.0. So there's a lot of fairly basic benefits that you get as well.
Okay. All right. Can you talk a little bit to, you actually in building and putting this in Edge, you had a few different media engines you could choose from, right? You had this, the Skype media engine and the Link media engine. I don't know, there's probably plans to merge and combine them, or you could go and build a new one.
Sure.
Right? Can you reveal anything?
What we chose to do is we've moved to a unified media engine. And what we've done is we've added WebRTC capabilities into that media engine. So that's a good thing because, for example, things like RTP, RTCP MUX, things like Bundle are now part of the Skype media engine, so we can use them. And so the idea was to produce something that was unified and would have all the capabilities in one. It took a little bit longer, obviously, to do it that way. But the benefit is not only do we get to produce a standards-compliant browser, but we also get to use those technologies internally and not have three or four different stacks that we're having to rationalize later. And also, I should mention that one thing that is interesting about the way we work is we produce stacks that are both client and server capable. So we don't just produce pure client code that wouldn't, for example, be able to handle load. So some of those things can go into back-end components as well.
Okay.
And that is also true, DTLS and all that. It's now in, it can be, whether or not we use all those things in Skype is another issue, but it is part of the repertoire that we have for apps.
Okay. Is there anything else that's not on Dev Modern IE, or I guess in terms of exposing some of these APIs or capabilities that
one thing that
NuGet
people probably
with any of these things or something like that.
Well, so there's a couple of things. Dev.modern.ie doesn't cover other things in the Windows platform, like, for example, in the future, currently we support DTLS 1.0. We do want to support 1.2 because there are additional cipher suites that is important. For example, the elliptic curve stuff, which we're seeing going into all the browsers. I think, I think Mozilla already has it, or Chrome already has it, or if they don't, they will very soon. And that is actually very important. That turned out to be more than just a cipher suite issue. The time and effort it takes to generate certificates, more secure certificates, is large. So it actually, for RSA 2048 or something, can actually block the UI thread if you create the object. So anyway, those are very important things that we don't cover there, but those are things we obviously have to do. I would say there's a lot of work, a lot of thinking that's been going on in the ITF relating to ICE and how to be better for mobile scenarios. And some of that, I don't think it's converged yet, but there's a new ICE working group. And so some of that is in the ORTC live implementation yet. Robin likes to be kind of on the cutting edge, and so he's done basically the first implementation of a lot of those new technologies. So that's something I think that's of general interest, particularly as ORTC moves to the mobile. I should mention, by the way, that the Edge Insider Preview is only for does not run on Windows Phone. I should just clarify that.
Okay. Yeah, just Windows. Yep.
Just Windows.
Yeah. Maybe relay that to actually. There's a question from Fippo, based on some tweet or something you saw out there. Any plans for embedding IE plugin? Are you involved in that, or if you are, you just talk about any
an external plugin or something?
Yeah.
We've always had
IE that would implement the
this feature is so basically at this point IE is frozen technology, so all the new features, if you look on the website, they all go into Edge, and so that's kind of what we've been developing for. So I never say Microsoft will never do anything, but currently that's not the thinking. I mean, Windows 10 is basically consumer is a free upgrade, so hopefully people will take advantage of that and get all the new stuff, including Edge.
All right. Is there, I guess, anything else you want to share that I should ask?
Well, I do want to clarify a little bit. I think Adaptr.js is a very important thing because it validates our original idea that essentially 1.0 could be built in a JavaScript layer.
Yeah, that happened when Fippo helped, and that happened
all the pull requests.
Yeah.
And we are paying a lot of attention to the bugs he's finding also. Obviously, he's finding bugs in Edge, which hopefully we'll fix.
Yeah.
But also, he's finding spec bugs, and so it really helps make sure that this compatibility that we've promised is actually real. It's a very interesting process to actually reduce that to code, so it's not just a vague promise. It actually has, it has to be demonstrated in software. And of course, what we've done, I think, currently is we've done it in audio. We know that video is more complicated, particularly as you start adding lots and lots of codecs to get that level of compatibility. So I wouldn't say that this is, even when Fippo is done with audio, it'll be the last word. I think we'll have to maybe pay even more attention to this kind of stuff in the video cases. It'll be interesting because video is a lot more complicated.
Yeah. Can you comment at all how big the team is that's working on it? I mean, you have a lot of moving pieces in different aspects.
It's hard to say because there's all kinds of people.
At least for the Edge
The Edge team itself, there's the people in Edge, there's the people in Skype, the system, there's the people in, for example, the S-Channel team that worked on the DTLS. And there's people all over, for example, the VP9 work that we talked about was not done by either Skype or the conventional Edge people, and that's the whole Windows Media team. I don't really know how to get my hands around this because you look at all the code we're using, it's written by hundreds and hundreds of people.
Yeah, okay. But it's still, most of it, I guess, I understand. At least you kind of pull it together for purposes of
pull it together. There's a lot there. There's a lot of teams, and there'll probably be more teams, going forward as we try to. I mean, for example, people say, why don't you have the data channel? Well, the data channel isn't something that would be in Skype's specific area of expertise. And so that's a transport protocol, and so it should be really written by people who are experts in transport protocol, which isn't either Edge or Skype, right? So it's not like some decision that was made by either of our groups not to do it. It was like we have to find somebody who's going to
take ownership.
Take ownership of that.
Okay. All right. Anything else to add?
No, I just encourage people to basically download the preview, run it, file bugs, let us know what you think. Also, you actually can vote on the website, which is kind of cool for new features.
Yeah, I mean, I'll include the link for all this stuff as part of the blog.
So you basically, we do listen to it and get a sense of, obviously there's a lot. I mean, WebRTC isn't expanding things. There's a ton of things you can do. There's, all the stuff on the dev.modern IE site. Yeah. And then there's, internal improvements. So getting a sense of priorities of what's most important to people is not that easy because there's so much that you could possibly focus on. But I'd say right now our focus is very much on video and trying to get that more solid and more interoperable for at least for the moment.
All All right, great.
But we're not, like, we can walk and chew gum at the same time, so we can do more than just one thing. Conceivably, especially when you look at IE and other teams and stuff.
Well, you get Microsoft's got a lot of employees, so.
Right.
just trying to sign up the right teams, right?
Get everybody to help.
All right. Yeah, this has been great. Very insightful. I think it'll be a big help for all the developers out there.
Yeah.
All right.
So.
All right. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Stop it.